In case you missed it, in the reading from Joel, here is the news. An apocalypse is upon us. That is the warning of the prophet this evening. We hardly ever hear from Joel during the course of all 3 years of the lectionary, but year after year, on this day, at this hour, we hear again the sound of the alarm from the holy mountain. Throughout most of the years of our lives, we have heard these words on Ash Wednesday. And because we are Anglicans, we have immediately used literary skills to dull the edges of those words. Joel is speaking in an allegory. The whole first part of the prophecy of Joel uses the image of a plague of locusts to describe a military invasion. Surely there must be some interpretive trick we can use to set ourselves apart from the emergency that Joel is proclaiming. But these days, that comforting idea is harder and harder to prop up for ourselves. If we bring to this Ash Wednesday any sense of history at all, our times feel apocalyptic. Our moment feels apocalyptic. The basic ideas that have been the foundation stones of the modern West, ideas that trace their lineage directly to the radical ideas first articulated in the scriptures of the Christian church, seem open to question. The institutions we built for ourselves, believing that being part of something larger than ourselves was a noble aspiration, we are now hard at work tearing apart and making ourselves smaller in the process. The bonds of trust between citizens and the governments they create are weakening, and in their place, a new generation of Caesars is arising. Even our sense of the common weal, our social contract, no longer seems to us to have anything to do with our individual destiny and our desire to flourish. We trust no one, and therefore we shall let no one depend on us. As if all that were not enough, an epidemic, utterly unimpressed by international borders or language barriers, is sweeping across the planet this very night. And in the same public squares where people have protested the wearing of the niqab, thousands of people now willingly go about wearing masks. Every year on this day, we are presented with apocalyptic language. That has been true for decades, if not for centuries. Surely these words fell differently on the ears of those who worshipped here on February 7th, 1940, the date of Ash Wednesday in that year. Different than they did on the ears of the congregation that gathered here on February 14th of 1945. And this year they sound different to me, and maybe to you, than they ever have before. Remember that that Greek word, apocalypsis, does not mean disaster or catastrophe. What it means is unveiling, revealing, the making clear of something that had been hidden. What then is it that this day is trying to reveal to us? What is the Ash Wednesday apocalypse offered to us? I think we make a mistake if we read these words and understand them as a means of accessing or interpreting the events of the world in our day. Our times may feel unsettled or explosive, yes, but that is not the focus of the church's intention in bringing us in this way to the threshold of a season of self-examination and penance. The revelation within this apocalypse is one much closer to home. We are invited by the church to a deeper and much more difficult revelation, the revealing of our true selves, our true nature, not just the parts we are prepared to bring to church. So yes, there is an emergency that Joel is proclaiming to us. But it is not a generalized, socialized emergency from which we can create a comfortable, analytical distance. The emergency is us. The emergency is your soul. In a very direct way, the invitation you are about to receive is an invitation to make more sense, more meaning out of Easter. It is to grasp anew and more fully just why what we say is good news is profoundly, radically good. So good that if you actually understand it, it will indelibly change your life. Which is exactly why most people want no part of it. We would prefer to have control over our lives. The emergency we are in is simply this. We are running out of time. All of us, each of us, I am, you are. No matter how young you are, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how wealthy you are, we are all running out of time. We are only given so much time. Ash Wednesday is an invitation to spend a very small amount of that time. Anytime you receive an invitation, you are required to make a choice. You can accept it, you can decline it, but you have to choose. Today is not a demand, it is not a requirement, it is not a collection notice. It is simply an invitation from the church. It sets before you a choice. You may enter into this season of self-examination fully and fearlessly and come more deeply to understand just why what happens on Easter Day really is the best good news you will ever get. Or you can pass on by and miss your chance for another year. And no one, not even the church, can guarantee you that you will get another chance. Okay, so I'm in an emergency. What do you expect me to do? How do I make the most of this? How do I keep a good Lent? Maybe for the first time. There are shelves and shelves of books that offer answers to that question. I will not trouble you with a review of them here. But I will tell you what I plan to do. And I offer it to you for what little it may be worth. My life often feels like a desperate attempt to organize chaos and defeat the forces of entropy. And I spend or waste a lot of time just trying to organize things. So, if I tried to organize and categorize my countless sins for the past year, one thing would immediately become very clear. The single largest category of my recent sins would be sins against language. I have been working on and failing at learning new languages. As soon as I get a basic handle on one, I'm on the road to a place that speaks a different language. It is all I can do just to try to get the pronouns right. And there is the clue. For as long as any of us have been formed by the life and worship of this church, our language of confession is always expressed in the collective first-person pronoun. We even call what we say together on Sunday morning the general confession. We confess that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. The broad reach of that we is immensely encompassing. It is so big that we can lose ourselves completely inside of it. And most of us do exactly that eagerly. More often than not, when I am praying the confession that way, that we looks an awful lot like them or you, but not me. It might change your experience of church. It might change your experience of faith. If just for this small time, just for this season of days, you instead narrowed that pronoun down to just I. How might that sound in your head and in your heart? I confess that I have sinned against you by what I have done and by what I have left undone. I have not loved you with my whole heart. That is what I plan to do. What might be revealed to you about yourself if you took on that small change just for the tiny space of this season ahead? I give you the assurance that the church will continue to offer you the aid and comfort of the general confession. Not least to accommodate those people who are not yet ready or not yet willing to risk this for themselves. But you, the sort of people who come out on a Wednesday evening in late February to go to church, you might just be prepared to try. I do not know what this apocalypse might reveal to you. I only know that there is nothing you will find, no corner you will explore that is beyond the reach of God's love and beyond the forgiveness of God's mercy. Nothing.